Father, we come and we ask, Lord, that you come down and you put your hands on each person here. That you lift us up, Lord, that you surround us with angels, that you open our hearts and minds to new possibilities, to changes that we've been meaning to make but haven't had the courage to step up and make. That you open our eyes to things that we should do and help us to realize that you've given us the tools to go do it with. All we need to do is move forward on faith. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for this nation and for the observance that honors the founding of a nation under God, whose flag waves and needs freedom and liberty and means the opportunity to flee religious persecution so that everyone can worship openly and equally. We thank you, Lord, that the principles that have guided this nation are Christian principles and are founded on your word. We ask all these things, Lord, and lift up all our leaders, local and national, to you, that you'd whisper in their ear and guide them. Give us the courage and the heart of a soldier to move forward, knowing that your directives are true, knowing that your mission is the mission that we should follow. Help us to not confuse our minds with the common sense, Lord, that you give us so that we can do your work. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Independence Day. Y'all worship at a very small church, a little small church that sits on the hill. If you do the math, the little small church that sits on the hill that had believers from this town worshiping God for 279 years.
Amen.
There were Christians here that were worshiping when we were a colony. There was no United States of America, but the Christians were faithful. They came here looking for religious freedom, looking for opportunity, looking for a safe place they could raise their children and raise them under God's principles. And they wound up here in Wales. Wasn't even Wales at that time. Wales hadn't become Wales. And they came and they settled. And America called. America called their folks and said, there's a French and Indian War. There's a conflict called the Civil War. There's a conflict called World War I. There's a conflict called World War II. There's a conflict, there's a conflict, there's a conflict, there's a conflict. And we get concerned, but if you read the scriptures, Jesus says there'll be wars and rumors of wars till I return.
Right.
And if you're a believer, there is no war, no pestilence, no plague that's bigger than God. God can carry you through. And God gives you tools to use. God, just like a soldier, brings you in. Young soldiers are full of enthusiasm, full of all the things that they've heard and read about opportunity. But like a young soldier, we all need to be disciplined. And then as we go along, we form fire teams. We start to group together with folks that have different skill sets so that we can move forward and accomplish the mission. And as you season, some of us are lucky enough to pair up with somebody else. Betty talked about being thankful for Hank and being together. I assume that was Hank you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
How long you been paired up, Betty?
45 years next week.
45 Amen. Years next week.
Amen. Amen.
Ron and Laurel, I'm going to marry them this next Saturday. We're going down to the Cape. We're going to be on a beach. I'm going to marry them. That'll be day one. Day one, 45. Buck and Faith, how long have you been married?
42 years.
Alma, how long have you been married?
53.
There's a couple folks you can lean on here. There's a couple folks that you can use the skill sets that have enabled them to be successful. In America, we were formed on the principle that all men are created equal, that we have the right to worship, and we took freedom, and we distorted freedom. We distorted freedom off to the side, and it made us compromise some of our principles along the way. But some things that are interested that aren't compromised. Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Church, assuring him that he'd keep government out of the church. If you notice, he didn't say to not get the church out of the government.
Right.
There's a sticker on my car, and I have another one here, that says it's freedom of religion, not freedom
Amen.
From religion.
Amen.
reformers of our government says, the amendment really says that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion prohibiting free exercise thereof. Our first president, George Washington, took the oath of office and put his hand on the Bible. His first official act as president was he kissed the Bible and then held a 2-hour praise and worship session in Congress.
Amen.
Amen. How do they open Congress? They open it with a prayer. Who would lead those prayers? Chaplains. How would taxes be paid? Tax dollars. By the way, the opening prayer is a mystery to me. Congress forms up and can have an opening prayer. Our kids go to school and they can't. I don't understand back and forth, but again, that can be fixed. It just takes a lot of prayer and preparation. Who decided to put God We Trust on our coins? I don't know. Somebody must have pulled a fast one on somebody if the government wanted to keep it out. In 1776, 13 of the 11 of the 13 original colonies required that one had to be a Christian in order to be eligible to run for political office. What a novel concept. The Continental Congress voted to spend $300,000. Now, you got to understand, the Continental Congress was in 1777. $300,000 is a lot of money, and they appropriated that money not to buy bullets and beans. They appropriated $300,000 to purchase Bibles to distribute them to the whole nation. The Gettysburg Address states, "This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom." 94% of the writings of the Founding Fathers contain quotations from the Holy Scripture. The state constitutions all mention God. On the first Thanksgiving, who do you think the people were giving thanks to? Same folks we do. They're giving thanks to God. Same folks that you thank when Buck and I went north to the Berkshires and there wasn't a lot of traffic and we got up there and got back yesterday all in one piece. You pray for divine guidance and providence as you travel going up. You're thankful for it when you get back home. Liberty Bell. And the Liberty Bell has part of Leviticus 25, verse 10 on it. It says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." An interesting thought on the writer of this one. This is things you think about. It says, can you imagine that there's an image of Moses carrying the tablets of God's law faces the Speaker of the House of the Representatives? It's there. Somebody forgot to look at it on a regular basis, but it's there. Every president enters a courtroom for the oath of office with his right hand on the Holy Bible and then concludes his vow, "So help me God." The Supreme Court begins each of its sessions with the phrase, "God save the United States and this honorable court." Our Constitution was made by and written for moral and religious folks. We are a nation, we are a town, we are a people of great heritage. Talk it, walk it, wear it. Be God's representative, and you don't need red, white, and blue. You'll bleed red, white, and blue. You'll share red, white, and blue. You'll share the love and light of a nation founded on the principle of God's word. And if you walk with Jesus, freedom will be with you each and every day. Because thank God you can be married and still be free. You can be part of this congregation and part of our fire team and still be free. You can be part of America and still be free, but you gotta be a participator and not a spectator. Amen. And that's the difference. That's the difference. You know, everybody wants to complain and moan, but nobody wants to step up and be a participator. Got some things to think about. This is written by a young lady that is, I think she might have went to school with George, I'm not sure. Says it's written, did you know Regina Brett, George?
No, sir.
Well, she was 90 years old, and she is... And she's closer to 91 now than you are. So she wrote 42 lessons that life has taught me, and I'm not going to share all 42. But her number one thing is, life isn't fair, but it's still good. When in doubt, take the next small step. Life is too short. Enjoy it. Your job won't take care of you when you're sick, but your family, your church, and your friends will.
Amen.
You don't have to win every argument. Just stay true to yourself. Cry with someone. It's more healing than crying by yourself. Make peace for it with your past so you won't screw up your future. Don't compare your life to others because you have no idea what their journey is about.
Right.
Take a deep breath. It calms the mind. Be eccentric now. Don't wait for old age to wear purple, Sandy.
I didn't.
I know. Time heals almost everything. Give it time. Take yourself seriously because probably nobody else does. Believe in miracles. Believe in miracles. Believe in miracles. Today you're going to see miracles. Some folks will miss them. Some folks will miss them. So for some of you, coming here was a miracle today.
Right.
Some folks will miss it along the way. You're going to leave here and you're probably going to continue 4th of July celebrations. At that 4th of July celebration, you may have a Sue miracle. Sue bought 2 dozen ear of corn from me yesterday. It's like the loaves and the fishes. That 2 dozen ear of corns, people keep eating it and there's still more corn. I just saved it for her. I didn't bless the corn, but somebody did. Your children only get one childhood. Don't make them grow up too fast.
That's right.
Let children be children and have the joy of a childhood, because if they don't, they won't know how to act when they're an adult. Most of you folks know me. You know I run with Buck. Buck and I are always amused by folks whose glass is always half empty. He and I don't have a problem finding something funny every day along the way. Doesn't have to be each other. The nice thing is we can find it with other folks. But if worst comes to worst, we'll make fun of each other. Get outside every day. Miracles are waiting everywhere. And always know that the best is yet to come.
Yeah.
Always know that the best is yet to come. The story that I use at funerals a lot of time is the story of a lady who, when she died, asked to be buried and have her fork put in the casket with her. They said, man, why do you want your fork put in the casket with you? She said, well, my mama used to say, after the meal is done, hold your fork, because dessert is coming, and the best is yet to come. She said, when I'm in my casket laying there, I want the fork next to me, so that folks know that I'm ready, because the best is yet to come. So today, as you celebrate what this flag stands for, what this nation stands for, be proud. Be proud and walk and talk a positive message. Because I'm positive that the land we live in is a great land and a great country, because yesterday there were folks sworn in as new citizens of the United States. Some of them crawled through mud and faced gunfire. Some of them lived in a desert in a refugee camp waiting to come in. We had a young man at one of the high schools in Boston who spoke at a teacher's award assembly that we had. And the young man came out of a refugee camp in Africa, came to America and did not speak any English. Came in and he started his freshman year of high school in an English as a second language class. He maximized his potential. He said, I knew if I got here that I should take advantage of everything that I had offered to me, because we had just learned to survive and try and get through the day, to have enough to survive through the day. The young man graduated. He was not the top of his class. He was the salutatorian of his class. And he applied to 11 colleges and got accepted by all 11 colleges. He was part of the program that we run for folks that take college courses at high school. And a young man who came in and in 3 years' time not only mastered English, but was accepted as a full scholarship going to Harvard University this fall.
Wow.
That's what America is.
Amen.
That's what America is, because the opportunity is there. You have to chase that opportunity. You have to have faith in God. You have to have a surrounding supportive cast. And you can go anywhere that you want to go and be anything that you want to be, because God will give you. Jesus said, you folks will do things greater than I've done.
Right.
All the power that I have is given to y'all.
That's right.
You are a small but elite fighting force. You are the SEALs of the New England area. You have the skill sets and the ability to go out and reach others that others won't see and others won't talk to. And you go there in Jesus' name because you are empowered. Because I can't see them all. Joel can't see them all. Ed can't see them all. Charlie can't see them all. Kit can't see them all. But all you all can go see them. And if you all see 10 folks and one comes out of 10 and they bring 10 and another one comes out of that 10, in a little while, you've tripled and quadrupled the population, not of Wales Baptist Church, but the entire town. And if they keep bringing them, then you entirely repopulate again so that you're taking a large percentage of the entire population of New England. And you can do it, and you watch it do it, and you watch it being done, and you watch it, and you watch it. The email that I send out that goes to you folks goes to about 15 other churches across the country. And I don't know how many folks that you send it to. But that's power. I get feedback from folks all over the country, and folks send you back and they'll say, hey, I saw your thing on Baby Lou. I saw your thing. A few years back, some of you folks know my son-in-law was in a horrendous accident, and prayer requests went all over the nation. I still get prayers back now. Folks are saying, how's your son-in-law? We're still praying for him. How's your little granddaughter that had the short gut intestine? How is it? How is it? How is it? Because God's mercy and God's prayers have power. We're going to offer you the opportunity to continue your development, to continue the way that you're going. Some of you are stepping forward and coming out of the caterpillar stage. You're going to be baptized. You're going to bloom, and you're going to start to turn into a magnificent butterfly. Today we're going to do communion. Today you have the opportunity to not only start, but renew your commitment to a God that loves you 24/7, 365. And you don't have to wait till you get better. God doesn't want you to wait till you get better. A lot of folks say, Pastor, I'm not good enough. In a little while, I'll study more and I'll be good enough.
Just as you are.
Just as you are, brother. Just as you are. God wants you now. So as we prepare to be renewed, as we prepare to step forward, as we're prepared to develop, if you turn to 769, Communion Service Call to Worship, 769.